Welcome back to Midday Magazine for June 23rd, 2023, here at WFHR. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, at 3:30, and I'm welcoming in some great people to talk to. One of our favorites, Craig Broren, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent. Craig, always good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here. And you brought a friend with. We have Steve Hepp, Public Services. Steve, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Steve, I don't believe we've been able to talk before. Have you been in before?
I have not.
I didn't think so. Every once in a while, I'm not familiar with some people. Have we talked? Oh, we have. We've talked before, and I feel horrible because I don't remember somebody. But I didn't think so. Steve, if you don't mind, I want to talk free meals with you guys. I have a couple of other questions I want to get to. But I think a great place to start is, what is People Services? What is it that you do over there exactly, specifically?
Right. So the People Service Department represents a variety of student support programs focused on success for all students. Our mission is to remove barriers by providing a comprehensive program that attends to the needs of all of our students. Our goal is to promote a commitment to lifelong learning, personal and academic growth, social emotional health, and to aid students in becoming responsible and productive members of society. We want all students to be college, career, and community ready upon graduation. The Pupil Service Department is pretty much broken into two parts. We have the special education part and the overall pupil service part. So the special education portion of it is a pretty large portion of our department. So we're looking at staffing in that area. We're looking at our school psychs, our special education teachers, our speech and language teachers, our occupational therapists, our adaptive FIED teachers, our special education paraeducators. We also contract with CESA 5 when it comes to services such as audiology, deaf and hard of hearing, vision, physical therapy, some of our alternative programming. Our programming starts our birth to three, so we're looking at our youngest student or youngest kiddos in the community, mm-hmm. all the way up to our Project Search students over at the hospital, Aspires Hospital. Mm-hmm. We have a great partnership with them. So we're looking at around 200 special education staff. That includes our professional staff and our paraeducators, our support staff. Mm-hmm. And with all that staffing is large because of the needs in our community. Right now we have over 800, almost 850 students that are identified with special needs. That's approximately almost 18% of our population, which is pretty large compared to the state average. State average is about 14.5%. So our percentage of special ed students has increased in the past few years. I think we've been above the state average looking at some of our data. Recently, we've been above the state average ever since like the 2010-2011 school year. Okay. So our population keeps growing. State averages continue to be around the 14.5%, rises slightly, but we've been increasing quite a bit.
Interesting.
So then also with that, so those students are students that have special needs that receive IEPs, but we also have students that are identified as having disabilities, but don't need special ed services, and those students are what's called have 504 plans. And we approximately have about 120 students that are serviced with 504 plans. We have roughly about 20% of our population of our students receive some sort of service for their disabilities. So that's kind of a broad for the special ed portion, and our pupil service portion is, again, their school psychs kind of play that dual role of special ed and pupil services. We have our English language learning teachers, we have our school counselors, our school social workers, our school nurses, our homeless liaison, our social emotional learning coordinator, our Title VI was our Native American coordinator, our behavior coaches. So we have roughly about 50 staff members in that area as well.
Okay. So you have a pretty easy job, Steve. Everything but that. Man, that is a lot. Going to school out here, I know some of those things. I think, maybe not the stats of them, but I know going to school with kids and such. I don't think it's really until this moment I realized how much our population has of that and how vital this is. Why you have a big team like you do over there. What are some of the bigger challenges you face with this position or with this, what in this field?
Well, I think the ever-changing needs of the students, you know, there's no cookie cutter, like this is what works for everybody. So really trying to be conscious of what our population needs overall and what those individual needs are for our students. I think that's a big one. And then finding staffing that can do it. I mean, I think there's less and less people that are going into the professions. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more and more difficult to find people that want to go in and want to stay in the profession. That's kind of hard.
How long have you been in this position here in Rapids?
So I started in Rapids in 2000 as a special education teacher at the high school. And then I moved into administration. So in the 2018-19 school year, so I've been in administration for the past 5 years. This is my just finishing up my second year as the director. I was assistant director for 3 years prior.
Okay. Thank you for that. And thank you for working so hard for our community and everything. I appreciate that, Steve. I am curious, and this question is probably going to be coming up in the next for at least another 5 years, but pandemic happens. How did things change? What different challenges did you face with that? Because I think we understand mostly how students were affected, but these particular types of students, how they were affected, I think that that's important information we didn't really cover very much during that time.
Right. You know, just being out of school, I think we did our best to try and meet students' needs. However, I think, you know, there's some things that we couldn't do, and I think it's taken some time to kind of catch up with those lapses.
One of the things that I've admired so much about the public schools, certainly ours here locally, but just in general, countrywide, nationwide, I would say, is that taking this situation, and this is what educators do, this is their wheelhouse. Have this tragedy, have this horrible thing happen like a pandemic, and instead of kind of coming out of it like, oh, we made it, phew, it's what did we learn? How can we grow? How can we make things better for these kids afterwards? And so when it comes to after and what we've taken from this lesson, if you will, how have things grown or changed with your program, with things over there?
Absolutely. So a couple things, I think. One is some of the services we're providing, we've kind of figured out there are different ways of providing services, like through virtual programs, and there's different software things out there, different technologies that we can kind of use to provide those things. We also kind of looked at those mental health needs that maybe were on our thought, but maybe not at the forefront when we first got into this. So we've really focused on some different areas the last few years, and a couple of things that we've kind of focused on has been our Gagel therapy program that we've contracted with. Gagel therapy is a virtual program that allows students to receive services through a counselor or some sort of coach on their own time, or if we can, sometimes older students can carve out some time during the school day, let's say if they have study hall or something like that, to kind of meet with that person virtually. So I think that's been a great way to meet some needs. Some other needs, we had a mental health navigator through the Aspires Hospital. We also recently contracted with Care Solace to kind of be that warm handoff between the family from the school district to different service providers in the community. So trying to find different ways of supporting families in getting the needed services for their kids and for themselves. So the nice thing about Care Solace is it's kind of a program that's supporting the student, the family, teachers, and able to connect them with appropriate services that they're kind of looking for.
These I never get tired of hearing about these bridges that we have in our community. We talk about it with Midstate from time to time about how Midstate works with companies to help kids before they even graduate. Oftentimes they're going right into the workforce. The ODC does a great job with this too. Something like that is such an impactful program, the impact, I think, certain things like that too, we don't even know the impact it's going to have yet. Like we'll find this out in the years to come how impactful some of these things can be. When it comes to the position, I know that especially when it comes to education, things are always growing and changing. Are there new exciting things? Are there things that are you're adapting to or that you're growing into in this field that you're excited about, that you're looking forward to for the students, for the kids?
We're always looking at new and different ways of meeting students' needs.
Yeah.
Things we're very excited about, like I said, Care Solace. We're very excited about our continued work with Gagel. We're excited about our FAST program. Mm-hmm. Our FAST program is our Families and Schools Together program, mm-hmm. which brings families into our buildings. We implemented that last year in two of our elementary buildings. We're going to continue that next year in those two, and then and grow it into two other elementary buildings for the following school year. So we're hoping that continues, and that's been really great. So those things are great. We implemented a new reading program for our elementary special ed students this past school year, which we've seen some really good results. We're hoping that continues. We're really fortunate to have a really good special ed and pupil service staff that are always looking for new and innovative ways. So we have a lot of staff that, you know, that provide professional development within our district or are willing to go and seek, different resources and bring that back and share it. So yeah. I'm excited about that.
Steve, I've really enjoyed talking with you. It's really good to meet you and appreciate you. Is there anything else you might want to bring up to the audience or touch on before we let you go and I put Craig on the spot? I mean, I talked to Craig.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is, we're always looking for involvement with the community. Mm-hmm. This past year, we implemented what we called donuts and discussions with our parents. So I hope that we can get more parents to come to that. We do that once a month, where we bring in maybe a different agency or we bring in one of our own staff members that present on a topic, answer questions for our parents, because it's, there's a lot of questions out there. I mean, there's so many different nuances when it comes to special education, mm-hmm. And the needs and the different supports and availability of resources in the community. So we like to make sure that parents know that.
Yeah.
Always have that.
Appreciate you, Steve. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things you've been talking about, is there a way to reach you?
Absolutely. You can reach me, call me, or email me. All my information is on the website.
Okay, and that website, wrps.org, correct? Is that
correct.
The website you can find?
Net.
Okay,
yep.
Just making sure. All right. And I'm sure that you Google Steve, you'll be able to find that information as well. Make sure to look at the wrps.org website. I would think that you can find it there, certainly. Thank you for the time, Steve. Appreciate you. Craig, I actually want to tee off a little bit of where he was going with that a little bit, actually. Because when we're getting together, we don't always have an outline, but I always have questions. And you always do a great job knocking them out of the park. So I think I might have one for you, though, here, because we just, in the last year or so, have had school board, people, new members on the school board, older members, and we've heard a lot of talk about school boards nowadays, more than I think we've ever heard in our lives, people talking about school boards. I think a big part of that is because of certainly people wanting to, I'm leaning on the positive side of here. There's a lot of reasons why people are doing this. I'm just focusing on the positive, in my opinion, the positive. And people wanting to make an impact, wanting to do some good, or wanting to help in ways that they can. We see a lot of parents who are currently have kids in school doing this. But I think we're seeing just as much parents or the kids aren't in school anymore and wanting to help and make an impact. But there are other ways that you can impact and that you can help our schools, help our teachers, be informed about what's going on in our schools. But I don't think we get a chance to touch on that very much. A lot of people feel like, well, I'm on the school board or that's it. Do you have suggestions? Do you have things that you would suggest to parents out there, you as a parent, what you've done in the past, like ways that you can do this where we're showing kids what it's like to have two adults have a conversation. It is not just two dogs barking.
excuse me. That's an excellent question. So, multifaceted in terms of a response, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
If you have kids in school, frankly, the opportunities to get engaged and involved are pretty easy and mm-hmm. evident. And you have to kind of make a concerted choice to not, right?
Mm-hmm.
As much as you do to make a concerted choice to be involved. So, the days of people coming and going from schools, during school hours, as it used to be, even walking your kid to a classroom and showing up and like, oh, I just need to,
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, if you show up to school and you need to talk to your kid, we allow that, but it's
yeah.
not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
Due to security and the expectation of the community and, mm-hmm. and of our students and parents that we have a pretty good degree of control over visiting a building. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, is that really the only way that you, you know, are engaged in school? And the answer to that question is an adamant no. Mm-hmm. Clearly, if there's a planned circumstance, whether it be volunteering, right? You want to help in classrooms. That happens in all of our school buildings. Mm-hmm. I think less so at the middle and high school level for obvious reasons, but nonetheless, there are options for that sort of involvement. There's some paperwork, background check you have to go through, and then, of course, identify what specific things you might like to be engaged in. We look at doing outreach to the community in terms of, you know, career development or those sorts of opportunities. And this community is amazing.
Yeah.
In terms of any time we host something along those lines, like at Lincoln, it's escaping me what we call it, but it's basically like a career exploration day at Lincoln, and it's wild.
Yeah.
The amount of businesses and individuals that show up, former alumni, it's great. It's great, and so it's things along those lines. But if you're talking about now you don't have kids in school and you really want to know what's going on, then frankly, you've got to take some steps to inform yourself, right? And that's true with just about anything. So I think the easiest way to do – well, you can do that in any number of ways. If it's more passive, you want to evaluate social media, what the district has out on Facebook, Twitter – and those sorts of social media accounts, check the district website. That's always kept up to date with relevant information. Certainly, I'm open to phone calls or emails with questions that, you know, are relevant. I'm involved and engaged in a number of community groups, and am also, since I have kids, am around community events quite frequently, and not averse to answering questions from anybody. But ultimately, when it comes down to, you know, what's your goal? Are you ultimately looking to be supportive and legitimately make change for a positive to the school district? Or is your goal just to point fingers and disparage? And frankly, if it's the latter, don't bother.
Yeah,
what's the point?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've never seen an entity improve because they are being disparaged, right?
Yes.
And particularly from individuals with zero involvement in the community and zero involvement in the school district, who stand in judgment of everything is going wrong and everything is being done wrong. That's a bit on the frustrating side, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
But if you have people that are engaged, and frankly, with the number of things that I'm involved in, that includes people that are, you know, business owners, business leaders, community members that have kids, community members that don't have kids, young people, older people, and pretty much cuts through the spectrum of what we have in the community. And any time that we have an opportunity to have a rational conversation is a great time, right? Because most of what I think we're engaged in is what the majority of our community want us engaged in. And it's interesting questioning that you raise now, particularly with People Services being part of this broadcast. Because when you hear People Services, you think of, oh, that's for the kids that have problems. Mm. And frankly, it's not, right? Mm-hmm. It's for those kids that have issues, special education, mental health issues, or whatever the various things may be. Mm-hmm. But also, there's services that are provided from People Services for all of our kids. My kids, you know, your kids, any kids that attend our school. And that is one of the foundational premises and the beauties of public education, right? It doesn't change. What you have access to doesn't change because you identify in a certain manner or you, you know, are a certain color or of a certain intellect, right? And the goal is to provide services such that that playing field is leveled to the degree it can be. Ultimately, and as Steve mentioned previously, to have people graduate from Lincoln High School or River Cities High School prepared to be a contributing member of society. And frankly, all of the other indicators that we talk about and we want to point fingers to, because another piece that you raised, which again is an excellent corollary, and you're going to get more than you bargained for because you always do with me.
Yes, I always love it.
Is this idea around the pandemic and its impact on test scores. Now, as a school superintendent, as a person that's been involved in education for over two decades, I'm not going to sit here and say we're fine with poor test scores. No one would say that. But on the same hand, if someone were to tell me or ask me point blank, would you rather graduate decent human beings from your high school or human beings that reached a certain threshold on a test? It's the former.
Yeah.
Clearly, we want decent human beings. We want people that are rational, reasonable, want to engage, want to bring something positive to the community. Mm-hmm. And I don't really care once you're done with high school what you got on the ACT or what you did on the Wisconsin State Assessment in the eighth grade.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But that's also understanding that it would be horrendous for us to turn a blind eye to that.
Right.
Right? So you have to use that data to determine whether or not what you're doing is actually being effective. And when you find that it may not be, where it's incumbent upon us to make some modifications to address that. And I clearly, that is the goal and role of our staff, because foundationally, that is why we're here.
Right.
All of these other things are secondary to providing kids a quality education. And so I don't mean to say that that's not the focus. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
But that emphasis, particularly in light of the pandemic, when you see nationwide trends, right, nationwide declines. Now, I don't know anyone in education that's fine with that. It's like, oh, yeah, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But on the same hand, that intense focus and then pointing that to some kind of circumstance locally that is a major catastrophe is a false narrative.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense. But the idea, now, where it would make sense is if there was evidence where the district, and I'm not aware of any doing this, but it would make sense where the district was like, you know what, no, we're fine with it. We're not changing a thing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing, and to hell with whether or not our kids achieve on a test. That's not happening, right? And then I circle back to what the whole point of the diatribe is, which is being a meaningful contributor to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, here in the Rapids area, the vast majority of this community is incredibly supportive, want to see awesome things happen, know how to make awesome things happen, recognize that pointing fingers and just talking about how the city does it wrong or the school district does it wrong or it's this person's fault or that person's fault. It's more articulated in, you know, here are our circumstances. What can we do collaboratively to make that improve? And what are things we can engage in? And as a result, that being the focus for me in particular, we've seen some pretty awesome things transpire.
I have relatives and friends that are in the military, and I was talking to my cousin. He's a translator. He's been in serving our country for over 20 years. I'm very proud of him. But we were having an interesting conversation the other day because he was telling me how our military has changed in some ways. Where back in when he first started, you know how it was very it was motivating by insulting or a lot of these kind of things and trying to get you out of the dirt by calling you dirt, you know, and that kind of stuff. And it's grown since then. There is still an edge to the military. There is still a forcefulness there, but it is done now in a way of the energy is still the same. The words have changed. And they have found that people are responding better, that we're getting stronger soldiers from this. We're getting soldiers that not only do we that come out of their service with better mental health, but they're doing better work. They're actually more engaged with their drill sergeants in these things. As it turns out that I think a lot of us, and Craig touched on this, that a lot of us have realized for a long time, nobody has ever grown from negative feedback. Nobody is motivated by negative feedback. And doing that is... you find out where a person really, what they stand on. If they come to you with this issue and this problem, is the issue really the problem or do they just want to bark? If they just want to bark, that's one thing. But you can tell if they care when the tone that they have, the way they're approaching the conversation, and the way that they are listening, they are engaging with this. I don't think anybody has an issue with questions being raised or anybody or accountability. Nobody's going to say accountability is wrong. Nobody's saying that. But where are you really coming from? We've talked about this with politicians before. Are you in it for the 15 seconds of fame, or are you in it because you care about your community and your constituents? You can tell. The American people can tell the difference of these things. And it's not different on a local level when it comes to our schools, when it comes to people in your position, positions, guys, and students and people out there. They have questions. That's fine. But it's how you approach the conversation. And all of this comes back to what all of our jobs are. Well, certainly your guys' jobs, but my job, any of you out there listening, it's setting things up for the next generations. It ain't about us. We plant trees for these guys, not us to see them grow. All of this is setting them up so that they can succeed and hopefully we can retire and maybe play pickleball, I guess. I don't know, whatever the big thing is by the time I can retire or whatever. It's all setting that up. So when you're doing this, when you have questions, when you have concerns, that's cool. That's fine. Just how are you handling it? Because kids are watching. And do we want a generation of kids growing up that only bark? They're not really asking questions, they're just barking? Or do we want kids to grow up the way that we did, the way a lot of people did, where questions are cool, but how the class and the tact and the tone that you approach with them are just as important as the words that you are saying.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the time, guys. Thank you so much. I did want to mention real quickly that the fourth and fifth year old kindergarten registration is open. Put that out there. And of course, if you have any follow-up questions, you want to know more, Craig, we send them to the website.
Yeah, well, in 715-424-6700 is the district number, and then you get the menu, you know, virtual menu, whatever it is, or the website, wrps.org, yes.
Encourage you to do that. And thank you both, not only for what you do in our community, but putting up with me and my silly questions. Appreciate the time, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with more Midday Magazine here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.